Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is attorney and now author Adrian Lawrence. She's the author of the new book, Staying in the Game, the Playbook for Beating Workplace Sexual Harassment. Adrian, you come at this topic from a very unique perspective, sports journalist, a sexual harassment survivor, and an attorney. So how did you use the tools that you now share in this book with all of us to get your game plan together before you sued ESPN?
Well, as I kind of outline in the book in terms of game plans, it's so important to start early to make sure you have your ducks in a row for when you see behavior that's problematic in terms of documenting and recording it. Because a lot of people end up thinking, oh, you know, it's a one-off or it won't happen again. That is not how sexual harassment works because it's effectively bullying. Bullies don't just let up and go away. They continue to return. So it's so important to learn how to document properly and to record properly so that if things hit the fan, you are fully prepared to defend yourself.
And I know this is sort of shifting the burden as it shouldn't be, but are there ways to prevent sexual harassment from happening short of getting rid of the harass holes, as you call them?
There are various ways to address the behavior, largely because, again, it's bullies. And just like in a schoolyard, there's a way in which you can flip a bully. It's just a matter, oftentimes, of intervention. And one of the strongest ways sociologists have been able to identify to eliminate sexual harassment is bystander intervention. That may be your colleagues, other people in the workspace who can essentially just intervene and call that person out just as you would on the schoolyard. And that person will hopefully eventually back down, but there does need to be an ardent effort in place so that people feel comfortable intervening and don't feel like their career or their jobs are necessarily put at risk.
And you talk a lot about trusting your instincts as a victim of sexual harassment, workplace sexual harassment. How does that work, and how does sexual harassment tend to make people, or victims of it, question their own instinct?
Well, it's, you know, unfortunately we live in a society that thinks kind of this whole victim thing is a sign of weakness, which is why we often like to use the term survivor. Because it does, unfortunately, end up gaslighting you to a certain extent to think that your situation isn't novel in any way. There's nothing special about it, and thus you should not do anything about it. When the reality is that you and everything about you is telling you that this interaction, that it's not okay, and it is effectively making you play small, which is exactly what bullying is designed to do. And so if you don't listen to the things that are going on around you, but really focus on your instincts, that is when you can do what is best for you and make the stand, take the stand that you need to take.
What was your role at ESPN?
I was an anchor and legal analyst.
And how long were you there?
I was there for 2 years.
Okay. You know, it's as I read the book, and I was kind of shocked to read some of the things in here because it's just not something that's guttural instinct to me. A lot of us are aware of sexual harassment in the workplace now and are acutely aware of avoiding any appearance of anything, but you write that the fact remains that society doesn't protect women in the workforce. How can this be?
Well, we have a system, essentially, that is working against you. As you may read in the chapter where I discuss cost, you can see how much it costs an employer to keep a harasser on board, yet they continue to do that and to continue to employ these individuals, and as we saw with Fox News, shelling out multi-million dollar payments and just getting rid of the women. And that is just one of the indicia of it. And then also, when you go through my book, also something that I go into is the fact that our legal system is set up so that if I'm sexually harassed, I have to prove that I didn't welcome it. I came to the job to do my job. Why is there a presumption that I also wanted to do you in the process? That is not acceptable. The individual who you saying sexually harassed you should have to show that you welcomed it. It should not be the other way around.
And that brings up an interesting question to me. In the law, what elements do you have to show for what a sexual harassment victim have to show in order to prove and maintain a viable legal claim?
Well, it can be very difficult in part because, you know, things will vary in terms of the necessity there. But for the basic elements, because we're looking at two different types of main claims, which are quid pro quo, which is kind of a tit for tat, and then you're also looking at things like hostile work environment. And the hostile work environment claim is largely the more difficult one to meet because quid pro quo, you can show, hey, they wanted this for that. That's pretty easy. But a hostile work environment showing that it was so severe and pervasive and that essentially changed the nature of your job, that's a very almost subjective inquiry. And as a result of that, you're going to need to show a lot of changes and behavior that would essentially make someone's job completely hostile and intolerable. And because it's so subjective, it makes it so it's almost a moving target.
And with that moving target, are you at the mercy of whatever jury you happen to get or a judge if you happen to have that type of a trial in order to even be successful with one of these suits?
Yes, that is exactly it. And then there are also a number of other factors that unfortunately will come into play, just as we see with the justice system every day, whether, you know, people think that victim is deserving or not deserving, or even the race of the victim comes into play. And it's really just unfortunate because, again, at the end of the day, it was just bullying. And so if it can be taken care of at the managerial level, hopefully it would never get to the legal level. But unfortunately, a lot of companies do not handle sexual harassment properly, and thus we end up in the legal arena.
I'm chatting with Adrian Lawrence. Her new book is Staying in the Game, The Playbook for Beating Workplace Sexual Harassment. Adrian, you were in sports media for a while. Why do you claim that people in sports media struggle with reporting on intimate partner violence and sexual harassment?
Well, I think that everybody kind of, no matter what the media angle is, can really struggle at it. You know, we are in a situation where there isn't particularly enough diversity in media, whether it be gender or racial diversity, and you need people from other backgrounds to be able to speak on certain subjects, because, you know, hey, if you don't necessarily have the vantage point, then you'd want someone who specializes in it or who has that experience. And unfortunately, because we don't have that diversity there, it can be very difficult in terms of maybe the language that's used, how it's approached, and as I discussed in the book, unfortunately, there are aspects of media who may be doing the best that they can in terms of reporting on a topic, but as a result, it doesn't necessarily have the best consequences for telling the story because of how certain individuals and segments of communities will approach issues.
And I don't know that it's limited necessarily to sports media. We see this in the news media, which is often looked at through the views of, through the lens of politics. And I'm thinking specifically of the Tara Reid allegations against Vice President Joe Biden as he runs for president. How can this book inform how media consumers can look at reports such as those when they unfortunately become public and, you know, they're just splashed across headlines? How can we use this book to kind of decipher what's true, what's not? And is that really our role as a media consumer?
As a media consumer, certainly I do believe it is our individual roles to understand what is being said and also what is not being said. But also, too, at the same time, not everybody has the time to become a specialist on a topic, and thus they should be able to rely to a certain extent on a media outlet to provide them with factual and objective information. To that end, what my book really also goes to explain is helps you understand what's really going on. So when we see situations like the Tara Reid situation where we just had Biden call for the release of the reports and any complaints against him, when you read and understand the fact that retaliation is so prevalent that people are discouraged from reporting sexual harassment, it really shows that calls like that don't really show the full breadth of what's going on here because people do not report.
When you also write that sexual harassment is rarely a legal issue, and I think a lot of us think of it as a legal issue because sexual harassment is always followed by the term lawsuit when people talk about it. So if it's not a legal issue, what is it?
Oh, it's very much a sociological behavioral issue. Again, this is bullying. It's just bullying based on sex or gender because I'm threatened in the thought that maybe you will replace me or maybe you'll be better at work than me. And so individuals will act out by bullying you. And a lot of people don't understand necessarily that sexual harassment isn't just come-ons, but it's also put-downs. And different groups, unfortunately, get different types of sexual harassment more than other groups. And so when you have a more full understanding of what sexual harassment is, then you can fully appreciate what's going on and why these things are coming against you. But this is truly a matter of behavior, and very, very, very rarely should it and is it ever going to be a legal issue.
And, you know, a lot of times we think of victims of sexual harassment being female. You point out in the book, though, that this works both ways, you know, predominantly female, but nonetheless, it does work both ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of people don't realize, too, that men are actually sexually harassed more often than women, but they don't find it offensive, which would make sense because if you have the societal power, more economic power, and also oftentimes more physical power than the opposite sex, or even the same sex, when you are sexually harassed, it's not a big deal. You might see it as a compliment. But when you have less economic power, when you tend to be physically smaller, when your job is more jeopardized, yes, you will find it more offensive and it will freak you out.
As you wrote this book, who did you have in mind as you were writing this book?
I largely had in mind probably women and LGBTQ and I guess a lot of men who really just kind of want to inform themselves, but also they're just not here for the nonsense. Because there are a lot of really decent guys out there and a lot of men coming out of my situation with ESPN. I'd say there were far more men who were supportive of me than women. And that's only because men tend to know they tend to have their seat at the table and they want this stuff to stop too. Because again, this is just bullying because of sex or gender. And people don't want to deal with that when they really just want to make an income and take care of their families and be able to retire. And if you get retaliated against and you lose your job, that's an issue, especially, you know, if you're married. So I often say to men who don't necessarily care or think they care about sexual harassment, do you want to retire on time with your spouse? Okay, then you need to care, and your spouse needs to care, and you need to approach this because this is a business issue, and it happens every single day. So you got to be prepared for it and know how to address it.
All right. Very interesting book you wrote here. The book is Staying in the Game, The Playbook for Beating Workplace Sexual Harassment. It's a great primer for anybody that's interested in this topic. Adrian Lawrence is the author. Adrian, thanks for joining me today to talk about your book.
Thank you so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. All the stars.